You know, sometimes the apostles get things right. You know, it seems like when you look at them, there's a lot of times where they're sticking their foot in their mouth, like St. Peter, or they're doubting, like Thomas, or they're betraying our Lord by running away when he was being offered up as as the sacrifice. But this time they got it right. They asked our Lord, increase our faith. That's a powerful prayer. That's a prayer that we should be on our lips as well. Lord, increase our faith. We should be asking for that as well. Because it is a sign of humility to recognize that our faith now, regardless of where we are in our spiritual life, is not where it should be. There's always room to grow. There's always room to increase our faith. And I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard this about the mustard seed, how it's so small. It's this little tiny speck of a seed. It's smaller than the period in your missalettes, you know, at the end of a sentence. It's this little tiny seed. Have you thought, though, that our Lord is saying this to his apostles? He's saying this to those men that were chosen to become the leaders of his church after he died and rose again. And he's saying to them that they need to increase their faith to be the size of a mustard seed. If they have that problem where their faith is not that strong, what does that say about us? Are we at the same point? Is our faith as strong as a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, or better? Or are we worse off like the apostles were? It's a question for us to think about. And of course, to think about, should I pray this prayer? Increase my faith. Of course we should. But how do we do that? How do we do that? And what does that mean for our lives to increase our faith? Well, first of all, if we are to increase our faith, we need to be like the servant in the gospel today, the unprofitable servant. Now, in our materialistic, corporate world that we live in, when we hear somebody talking about being about profit, we think money, getting more money. If you're unprofitable, it means you're losing money. If you're profitable, you're gaining money. You're making more money than you're spending. That's not what they mean by profitable or unprofitable servant. An unprofitable servant is one who does just what he's required to do, as the gospel says. I have done what you've commanded me to do. So for a servant to be profitable means they're going over and above, they're anticipating their master's commands, what their master desires. So for these servants to be unprofitable servants means they're doing just what their master wants them to do. Well, we need to be like that as well. We need to be at least unprofitable servants who are doing what our master commands. Now recognize, though, that there is no participation ribbon in the spiritual life. We don't get a gift, you know, little participation ribbon pinned on us by God if we're not doing the minimum. The spiritual life, we either climb up, we increase our faith, or we slide down, we lose our faith. There's no middle ground. There's no, like I said, no participation ribbon. So to be an unprofitable servant is the minimum we need to do to increase our faith. But we have to start somewhere, so we start there. We start by hearing our Lord's commands, what Jesus himself gave us. And so, of course, that means following the Ten Commandments. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And, of course, those Ten Commandments, our Lord summed down as the two great commandments, love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. So we need to be doing that. In addition, we need to be listening to the teachings of the church. That Christ gave us the church to show us how to live his commandments. To show us how to live those two great commandments that he gave us. And one way the church does that is through the precepts of the church. That's something that we've probably heard about in religious education, the precepts of the church. You might even remember that word. There's five of them. We probably can't remember all of them. Maybe if we put all our heads together, we could. But it's things like, you know, the care of the church, the financial care of the church, that we are giving of ourselves, we are tithing for the good of the church. Attending Sunday Mass, the Sunday Mass obligation is one of the precepts of the church. Receiving confession and communion once a year is one of the precepts of the church. And so on and so on. There are so many things that we need to do that the church calls us to do that gets us at that bare minimum of being the unprofitable servant. And the reason why the church can do this for us comes from, this, among other places, but comes from the second reading, St. Paul's second letter to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, and by extension, Timothy's community, take it as your norm the sound words which I gave you. St. Paul is telling them, take as your normal practice, your baseline, the sound words, the teachings that I gave you. And from there, we know those teachings have been passed on from generation to generation through the church. So we need to take as our norm the teachings of the church. That's why we follow those teachings, because we know they come from Christ himself. If we do that, if we seek that norm, if we seek to be those servants who are doing what we are commanded, that's good. We will grow into spiritual life. But if we wish to go further, we again, going back to St. Paul, need to seek the spirit of power and love and self-control, the Holy Spirit. Now notice St. Paul says the spirit of power and love and self-control, which comes from the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of cowardice and hatred and self-indulgence, which comes from a different kind of spirit, an evil spirit. We do not need to be seeking cowardice and hatred and self-indulgence. We need to reject that and instead seek the power and love and self-control that comes from the Holy Spirit. If we do that, if we seek that spirit, we will be given by God the strength that we need to bear all hardships, our share of the hardship, as St. Paul says, for the gospel. Because hardship will come. We will have difficulties in our lives. We know this. But if we seek that power and love, that spirit of power, love, and self-control, we will be given the grace that we need, the strength that we need to face that hardship, to, as our Lord says elsewhere, to take up our cross and follow him. He is the one who gives us the strength we need to do that, to take up that cross, to take up those hardships that will come for the sake of the gospel. That's how we go above and beyond. And I would argue that we are very much in a time and place where we need to be willing to do this. We need to be willing to take up that our cross. We need to be willing to take up those hardships. Because when we listen to the first reading, the reading from the prophet Habakkuk, we probably think he's talking about today, where he's talking about violence and strife and discord. You know, we see violence in the world. We see wars, you know, fighting, riots. We look at our country, there's violence and strife, and especially discord in our country today. And we might be tempted, like the prophet says, to cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long will this go on?" And maybe we should. Maybe we should ask that. And what we need to do is to take up that spirit of power and love and self-control and to pray for an end to all of this. Recently, I was listening to a podcast of a Jesuit priest somewhere over in North Carolina, I believe. And he was talking about taking the month of October and using it as a month of prayer and fasting. To take this month, the month of the Holy Rosary, by the way, the month of Our Lady's Rosary, to take that month, this month, and to pray and to fast for our world, to pray and fast for our country. Now, when I'm talking about prayer and fasting, dedicating a month to prayer and fasting, I'm not saying everybody quit your jobs and go into a monastery with prayer. You know, we're praying all day and we're eating bread and water only for our meals. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not, I mean, if anybody's called to do that, don't let me stop you. We need that. We need people willing to go into monasteries and do prayer and fasting. But we as individuals in the world can do prayer and fasting, and should take a month of prayer and fasting. But what would that look like? Well, first of all, with fasting, If you remember the what the church tells us about fast days, Ash Wednesday, Good Friday are the two ones we are obligated to fast on. The fasting rules of the church today are not difficult. They really aren't. One major meal, one regular sized meal, and then two, it always calls it a smaller meal, but I always think of it like a snack. A small snack. Two small snacks that don't equal a full meal. So one full plate of food and then less than half a plate of food. Not very hard. For some of us, that's more food than we might eat normally. But if we take 2 days a week, let's say, traditionally Wednesday and Friday, and follow those fasting rules, you know, giving up a little bit of food, giving up a little bit of time that we would spend eating for prayer, and to use that fast for this throughout this month. The same thing with prayer, that no, it's not dedicating in every day of this month all day. But what if we give up something that we enjoy, that we do on a regular basis? If you're in the habit of watching the evening news or watching, you know, evening television, NCIS or something like that, give that up. Don't watch the TV. Instead, spend that time you would spend watching TV praying. Dedicate to prayer, especially the rosary. As I said, this is the month of the Holy Rosary. If that's hard, you know, if you really can't find a regular way to do that, how about getting up a little bit earlier or going to bed a little bit later, depending on if you're more of a morning person or a night person. Sacrifice a little bit of sleep. Again, doesn't have to be much, for prayer. I want to encourage you to do this and to join me in this, because I am doing this as well. I am dedicating this month and I am taking time for prayer, that setting aside time for prayer, and I'm doing the fasting myself. Because we live in a world that needs our prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting is one of the most powerful forms of prayer. Remember, there's the gospel story of our Lord. And the apostles are trying to cast out this demon by using our Lord's name. And you kind of read between the lines, the demon's laughing at them. It's not working. It's not casting them out. Our Lord was able to cast them out himself. And he says, there are demons like this that can only be cast out through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is one of the most powerful things that we can do to overcome evil in this world today. And we have a lot of evil in this world that needs to be cast out, don't we? We have a lot. Look, again, throughout the world, we have horrific wars going on. You know, we think of Ukraine and Russia, but there's other places. There are countries that maybe they're not at war now, but they're getting ready for it again. We have a country that we're coming up with an election, you know, our midterm election, they always call it, you know, the midterm of the presidents. But this is a major election for the House and the Senate on the national level. And we are a very divided country. And there could be problems with the elections because of that division. We need to pray for that to be overcome, that we may be united as a country. We need to pray as a parish community, that we may not allow the divisions of the world to seep in, that we may not allow the hatred of the world to seep into this parish, but instead to seek unity and to seek that this parish be a source of peace and of proclamation of the gospel. We need to pray for that. And then we need to pray for ourselves, that we may truly have the humility to pray to our Lord, increase my faith. That each of us as individuals, as Christians, may draw closer to Christ and may seek to be a force of unity and peace in the world. I was just reading today a quote from St. Jose Maria Escriva, who founded Opus Dei. And he said that when people look at us by our actions and by our conversation, that they can say, this man, this woman, reads the words of Christ. Can they say that about us? That when they look at our lives, that they see that we read the words, we read the Gospels, we live as Christ would have us live. We speak as Christ would have us speak. That should be our prayer if we are going to have a month of prayer and fasting. That we can, that people can say that about us. So I encourage you, like I said, to join me in making October a month of prayer and fasting, that we may truly live lives as unprofitable servants, and maybe more, but that we may be truly seeking that humility to follow our Lord's command and to pray for an increased faith in our lives.